And now as I begin this message, I invite you to pray with me and for me. God, this morning may my words be your words. May you speak through me and in spite of me. Broken as I am, may my words contain your truth today. God, we give you this time and we ask that you would make with it what you will. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh God, you are our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we started in our Lenten sermon series talking about our hymns, the hymns that are in our hymnal. And for me, this has been such a special treat because I have just rekindled my love for the language of the hymns. So many times where we see a scripture and we're reminded of a hymn. And I know that as I've talked to Karen Birkelbach, she has some ideas about that. And she's going to share those next week as she'll be bringing the message. And next week we'll be talking about hymns of forgiveness, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And one thing that she was mentioning to me on the phone, and I won't say too much about this, but how our hymns are so important because we are people that sing and we remember things that we sing. And I don't know if you're like me, Karen told me this, like I can't even tell you where letters in the alphabet are without singing the song in order. Element of P, yeah, there it is. Yeah, put it like alphabetized things. Well, we are creatures of memory. With the songs are so important, and sometimes in our hymnal, as we read through the hymns, and there's a devotional that several of you have already, and one that's been very inspiring to me. It's called Unrevealed Until It's Season. It's a book by James Howe, and it's a lovely little devotional. It's for Lent, but it doesn't have to be. So if you, Amazon will send it to your door, if you go on the Amazon, and you can get lots of things from the Amazon. And you can get Unrevealed Until It's Season, a Lenten journey with hymns, but you don't have to follow along day by day for it to be meaningful. And so many times I've read and discovered a phrase that I've sung my whole life, but never really noticed or paid attention to. And so it's been really exciting to bring those out. And last week we talked about God being merciful and mighty. We sing Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And next week the hymns of forgiveness. And so you'll want to be here for that. But this week, songs about our beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ, and how beautiful that is to sing together. And the special thing that happens when we're singing together in harmony, and when we can hear that beautiful music, and we're reminded that most of the time the things that we're singing were inspired by somebody being inspired by something beautiful. Something beautiful. And with Jesus, our beautiful Savior, we lift up our songs and we sing these hymns about Jesus. And there's so many that you might be thinking of. I was just kind of listing them in my mind. And maybe as you're falling asleep this week, you'll think about all the songs you know about Jesus, and you'll just drift off to sleep. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. I've been in churches before where the pastor just made you say Jesus a few times. Can we try that? Just say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Everybody's smiling already. Oh, you all just said it once. Everybody, Jesus. Let's say it again. Yeah. There's just something about that name. And I remember thinking about that hymn, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. My favorite times in the week are right here in this space when I get to join the community of faith in singing songs about Jesus. And it's not just on Sunday morning. I have this amazing opportunity to sing. Well, I don't really sing. I get to play the bass, the ukulele bass. I stand right back here with Miss Patty, and she plays the piano like awesome. And I can hear already the changes. So the bass just like plays by itself. and the kids will sing, and they bring up a collection for Habitat for Humanity, and those kids have raised $900 this year in change for Habitat for Humanity. I'm so proud of them. And they sing their little song, and they come down, yeah. And we sing this song, and we've sung it our whole lives. You've sung it too, but it's Jesus Loves Me. This I know. You know it too. This I know. How do we know? For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. And so already there's a sense of belonging. And kids are very literal. They are, it's like, well, I'm weak, but he is strong. And one day, if I lift weights and I eat my vegetables, I'll be strong like Jesus. And then we grow a little bit older and we realize that hey, we're weak in a whole lot of ways that we weren't thinking about when we were little kids. We're weak in other ways. And Jesus' strength is not the way that we used to see strength, like big and powerful and mighty and overbearing, but it's strength in humility and weakness. It's strength in doing the right thing when it's difficult. It's strength in having integrity and character. It's strong. We have these hymns that we sing, and then we think about, well, the Bible tells us so. Well, where in the Bible? And then you it's easy to find that. We go to John 3:16, and you read it right here. And even as a little kid, you know that for God so loved the world that he gave it his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I love adding the verse 17, because it says that Christ didn't come to condemn, but he came to save the world through him. We remember this commandment that Jesus gives us to love. And when he gathered his disciples together at the Last Supper, around the time where Jesus knows what he's about to do, and he says, a command I give you, you're to love. You're to love one another. Look at this. Forgot the next slide here where it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then he puts this love in perspective. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. And if you're like me and you're thinking about a scripture like this, and you're thinking about what a friend we have in Jesus, then maybe a song just automatically pops in your mind. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I'd like to talk about this song a little bit today, because although the lyrics and the rhymes are really simple, it's a really profound idea, isn't it? Now, that's a question that kids might have when they're going to kindergarten for the first time, or in a new place. Will I have a friend? Will somebody know me? Will I get to know other people? Will I have a friend? What does that mean? And it's something that we don't grow out of. You know what it's like to be new? To be in a place where other people are friends with one another, and you hope that they'll be friends with you too? What does it mean to be a friend? Well, we start off with a real easy definition, you know, folks that you like to hang out with, have fun with, be around. Somebody that knows you, that you know them, then you're friends. But sometimes that's just on the surface, isn't it? You know, because there's a lot of people that we know, and maybe they're, we'd like for them to be our friends, but sometimes you don't want to go so deep, because if it's just an acquaintance, that might be not okay to talk about things that we don't agree on, you know, like politics, you know. But you know that over time, your true friends are those that you can disagree with and still have this this chance of being together. You don't draw out just because you disagree with. And then you move to maybe a deeper definition of friend. And I love that we can look at history. You know, Socrates, he he had a really good definition of a friend. And that's a friend is someone who helps you become good and wise. Oh, I like that. That's not just a buddy to hang out with, have fun with, but somebody that really helps hold you accountable to be good and wise. Kierkegaard said it like this. He said that a friend is someone who helps you love God more and more. And then you help them love God more and more. That's a friend. I like that definition. And it reminds me of John Wesley and his friends as they would have these little small groups. Our church got started from this idea that folks would hold one another accountable and that it would be a chance to grow closer to Christ as we grow closer to one another. And that's what it means to be a friend. Martin Luther King said that love is the only force that could turn an enemy into a friend. And when we think about friendship that way, I'm realizing as I think about it that there have been lots of times in my life where I wasn't a good friend, or where I wasn't intentional about being a good friend, where I didn't take somebody to the side that I loved and cared about and said, hey, there are some things that you might think about doing differently. And I'm saying this out of love, you know, how we keep each other accountable and hold one another in a way that keeps us growing and keeps us faithful. Then we think about the thing about friends is they're influential, right? So we want our children to have really good friends because we know that whatever their friends do, they're probably going to do, right? And so that brings us to the idea of Jesus as our friend. What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Well, it means that we want to live our lives in a way that look more and more like Christ. That if we're friends with Jesus, then we're more loving, we're more forgiving, more generous, more encouraging, more humble over time. That's what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Will we have a friend? We wonder. What are the habits of friendship? One of the habits of friendship is eating together. You know? It always has been. Friendship. Jesus got into so much trouble because he ate and drank and made friends with people that society would have not thought that would be appropriate. What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? What are a habit of friends? One thing that's needed in friendship that's kind of difficult that we have to kind of move into is true friendship is there's a vulnerability. There's candor, right? There's a sharing. And so in our song, we say, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a privilege it is to carry our burdens to a friend over a meal. This evening we'll have a chance to deepen our friendships at the community table. What a wonderful time of friendship, of seeing it. I got to see it last week a little bit when I saw folks of different generations coming to the table together and eating and breaking bread and getting to know one another. The habits of a friend is also encouragement. Encouragement, strengthening somebody else. The song has a line in it, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends encourage one another. But with Jesus, there's one more thing that's above and beyond. And that has to do with sacrifice. I've known that kind of sacrificial love, and I know you have too. Where Jesus says, no one has greater love than he who would lay down his life for his friends. We remember that and we thank God for that sacrifice that we remember each time that we come to the cross, that we lay these burdens down, that we do our best to become better people, better friends. There's a challenge in following Christ, and we are able to see clearly. And when we see clearly, it's not only that we see Christ as a friend or one another as a friend, but we also see the ways that we could do a better job of being a friend to someone else, to give encouragement, to give a blessing, to give your time, to go out of your way and sacrifice. We remember those things as we come to the table each week, as we see this beauty and sense this beauty and share that joy and that love with one another. May you go from this place knowing this challenge comes from Christ Jesus. This challenge, I call you my friends, and my friends, they love as I have loved. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for friendships, for all the ways that you show up in others, those that are different from us, those that remind us, those that let us know, not just with words, but with their very presence, that you are close. God, we thank you for your love, for the chance to embody that. God, help us to be more and more like Jesus in our friendships. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There was one more thing that I forgot to say. And that is this opportunity that we have to embody that Holy Spirit for one another as friends. Now, I imagine that there will come a time when you will have a friend that is going through a difficult time, and you might wonder, how could you be helpful as a friend to them? And you might think, I wonder what Jesus would do as the friend. And then you might pretend like you're Jesus in that moment, and then do whatever you imagine Jesus doing. Maybe it's not saying anything. Maybe it's just a touch of comfort, just a presence that's important. And as you do that, and as you pretend like that's what Jesus would do or want you to do, the beautiful thing about our faith is Christ is with you in that moment. You're embodying that spirit of a true friend for that person. May you find a place where you can embody that spirit, and may someone else embody that spirit of Christ for you, in Jesus' name.